Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is Al Crawford. This is the LBN Hour, and I am typically joined by Chuck Gifford. I'm hoping he'll call in just a moment, and we will move on with our show. Today, we've got some really interesting stuff to cover, and like I said, I'm hoping that Chuck can tune in a moment and can tune in. In the meantime, what I'd actually like to do, I want to spend a couple of minutes and actually introduce some new people. So, oh, there, he just came in. Hang on a second. Let's bring him on. Here is Chuck. Are you there, buddy?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm really good. I'm really good. I wasn't sure at the beginning you weren't there, so I was gonna do some things to stall. So I stalled for you to get on.
Sorry about that. I had a little trouble getting through on the number for some reason. But anyway, I got here.
All right, awesome. So welcome, everybody. This is our LBN Hour. The show is really focused on talking about networking, talking about different concepts and skills and different things that go on in the networking world. Local Business Network's been around. This is our 19th year of being around. And it was an organization that Chuck Everett founded back in 1999. And it's really something different and unique from anything else out there. And we really try to use these shows as a way to try to, you know, teach people that are part of the LBN family ways that they can be better. And for people that aren't part of the LBN family, to, one, help you with some networking skills, but ultimately we'd love to have you be part of the family. And so that's part of the reason that we do that. We currently have 40 chapters in Southeast Michigan, and we have a number of chapters down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that Chuck oversees. And so a lot of what we do is talking about things that are going on both here in Michigan and in Texas. So Chuck, what I started on, and I'll just finish the thought. My training this morning actually had two insurance people and a mortgage person that are, ideal referral partners for each other. And it was an interesting thing because they had all belonged to something else before, whether it be a chamber or some other type of group, and had all felt very confident that they were really good at what they were doing. And when we went through the exercise of the 60-second, and then we went back around and then, you know, had them realize really what people were hearing, it was a real eye-opener for all of them. And so made some great progress today. Great, great people. Really glad to have them to be part of the LBN family. But it just shows, you know, how important that being properly trained is and understanding the concepts. And the one guy had actually been around for about 6 months and hadn't had a chance to come to training yet. And then I always share with him, I'm like, you're going to have a bunch of aha moments. And what had happened was he was actually a leader in a couple of his other networking groups and basically learned more in the 3 hours than he's known in all the years that he's been networking.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's, you know, we have a little bit different way of looking at things, and kind of, you know, when we started LBN, we tried to go in a different direction, tried to really focus on referral partner relationships and how to communicate with your fellow members and give them the information they need to be able to generate referrals for you. And I think we have a unique program that that others find a lot of value in. So it's, yeah, especially, and this isn't the first time I've heard you say, oh, we have people that have been in networking for a long time with some of the best of the organizations that are out there, and they didn't know any of this stuff. They were so excited after the training that they really finally understood what power networking is all about and how they should go about promoting themselves. So it's fun.
Yeah, and it always is. And I'm always when we do the classes right after, and we do the show right after my classes, I'm always so turbocharged because I'm so excited. I love doing the class, and I love, you know, watching the light bulbs go on in people's heads. And so I typically like talking about it when I come back, because I basically drive like a crazy man to get here in time so we can do the show. So it's very fresh in my brain to go through. But so I know we have the agenda to kind of go through, but I really just wanted to take a minute just to kind of offer this as some guidance for people who are networking. And, you know, one of the things I just can't stress enough is that you've got to be prepared when you go to a meeting. You've got to know what you're going to say, and you've got to know, you know, having a clear and concise message. And I guess the most important thing that I can tell you is that after you get done, you got to shut up and listen, because that's always the thing that I find in these classes, is that it's the first time anybody's ever been called out where I'm actually asking what they heard and what other people are saying. And what happens is that if you're not prepared for what you're going to say, then you're not listening to other people because you're worried about what you're going to say. And then once you go, then you're beating yourself up over all the things you didn't say. And so the more prepared you can be, you know, at your meetings to what you're going to say, is going to make the whole experience so much easier. Because I can tell you that I can have a group of three people, and by the time the third person's done, the first person doesn't know what the other person said. And it always happens. I've done this class for 7 years. It's never different than that. And it all begins with the person not knowing what they were going to say, not being prepared before they get to the meeting to know what they're going to say, because the whole thing is very inefficient without it. So I just wanted to say that, Chuck.
Right. And you know, you can, at the meetings, you can sit there and listen to everybody, and you know who's ad-libbing it, you know, who just is deciding at this moment that they're going to figure out what they're going to say. And, you know, they generally don't have a good message. They generally don't share something that will help others, help them. And it's just obvious that they were not prepared. They didn't take 5 minutes, and that's all it takes, is 5 minutes to sit down and think about what message do I really want to get across today, and you know, what example am I going to use? What am I going to ask for? What am I going to ask my fellow members to do to help me over the next couple of weeks? And, you know, if they haven't done those things, if they haven't just taken a few minutes to think about it, they come off as disorganized, the message is weak, there's no good story to it, there's no good ask, and it just goes over everybody's head, and, you know, it's gone. Even the moment it's out of their mouth, it's gone. So it's just taking a few minutes makes a huge, huge difference.
So what I'll do is kind of set the stage, is I will give a couple of examples of good 60 seconds of, you know, people that I've heard in the past, and I'll do mine and stuff. And so what I do is I'll go through everybody, and then I'll say, you know, what did this person ask for? And it's always the same. So it's something where I let them know. I mean, like, this is something you were never taught. So it's not a bad thing. They just didn't know. They didn't know they were supposed to have this stuff. And so so I always I always use Thelma Sherry. I always sell or present his 60 second. And so it's a person I've never met before. They have no clue who he is. And I get done with everybody's doing, and then I'll say, what was Sal looking for? And they're like, nail salons. And I'm like, and they're like, oh my God. And all of a sudden it clicks. There was like, it's the story, you know, it's the story that led to why they remembered that. And I'm like, so these are people you've met, you've heard them talk, and you have no idea what they're looking for, but a person you've never met before, you know exactly what they're looking for and why. And so I've kind of done that for the last 5 or 6 years since Sal passed away. I've done that as almost kind of a tribute to Sal, but, you know, the story for people who may not know who Sal was, but Sal worked for ADT, and he was a part of LBM for about 2 years. And he closed, I think, 82 deals in 2 years through LBM. And it was just kind of a funny thing, because when he first came to the, you know, first started networking, He was really raw. And I remember he just came to a meeting and he's like, hey, what are you looking for? I got new alarms. I'll give you a good price. I'm like, you're scaring the crap out of us, Sal. I mean, what are you going to mug us or something, you know? And then he started selling, you know, telling the stories with his 60 seconds and just knocked it out of the ballpark. And there were so, I mean, it's been 4 or 5 years since he's passed away, and there's still people talking about him. And the thing that just amazed me was that the company that, when he passed away, the company put another person in his place, and the person was in LBN for 3 years and sold six alarms in 3 years. But the guy never came to training, never embraced any of the tools that we offered, never visited another chapter. So he had the exact same products as Sal had, 82 deals in 2 years, 6 deals in 3 years. The only difference is the training and engaging the things that, you know, that we teach and we recommend. And so so it's one of those things that, yeah, I'll do that just as kind of a way for people to kind of understand it.
You may want to just share that full 60-second that Sal used.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Because you said he was looking for nail salons, but that doesn't mean anything to a lot of people that are listening.
Right, right. So this would be this is basically the 60-second that Sal shared. Hi, my name is Sal Mascheri. I'm with ADT Security. Today I'm looking for an introduction to nail salon owners. Why nail salons? They get broken into. And why do they get broken into? Acetone. Acetone is a key ingredient in meth. They get $5,000 for a 5-gallon bucket of acetone, but they don't just take the chemical, they trash the place. My client had $175,000 in damage. They were closed for 6 weeks for the repairs. Don't let this happen to your friends. Let me talk to your salon owners today. From that 60-second, he sold 9 alarm systems for nail salons. The next time he did his 60-second, and this is another thing, and I know we're going to get into this with the subject matter today, is that your 60-second has to change. Every single time you present, you need to talk about something different. The next time I saw Sal, he said, by a show of hands, who here knows people with latchkey kids? Most people raised their hands. How many times you heard the story that it's 3:05 and little Johnny, mom is freaking out because mommy isn't home safe? Well, I have a program, and he held up his phone, and he said, ADT now has a product that when little Johnny opens her front door, a camera comes on and basically lights up her phone so little Johnny can wave at mommy and say, hi, mommy, I'm home, I love you, so that they have that peace of mind. Sal did 7 alarms from that 60-second and continued on with doing that, and ultimately 82 deals in 2 years. But it was always sharing the story, sharing the impact, sharing those different things. And so what's happened is it's kind of the evolution of what we've worked towards, which was originally when we did our 60 seconds, we started saying people need to have an ask. So people were asking for anybody needing anything. And then we were like, no, we need to be more specific. So then people started saying our specific ask is anybody needing anything. And I'm like, that's not working that way. So really what we've moved towards, and I've really stuck with this for the last few years now, is I'm looking for an introduction. If I'm looking for an introduction to a specific person or a specific, you know, whatever it is, I'm really kind of fine-tuning it, and it's going to sound dumb if I say anybody. I'm looking for a specific introduction to nail salon owners. I'm looking for a specific to you know, parents with the latchkey kids. So the more specific we can be with that, here's who I'm looking for, here's why, here's an example. And that becomes the way that you roll your 60 seconds. It's always new. It's always fresh. It's always going to be engaging, and it's real. And so so the people that do that, they do incredibly well. And for the people who kind of get stuck in the rut, we'll talk about that during a little bit later in the show. But there's some stuff we're going to offer you as well to do that. But that was one of the things that I got feedback from the people in the class today, was that they always did the same thing over and over. They always said the same thing over and over. So when I started talking about doing something different, they're like, well, why? I'm like, well, how's it been working for you? They're like, well, it's not. It's horrible. That's why we left. I'm like, well, you need to do it this way. Why don't you try it this way? And it was just something where, like, well, it makes so much sense. But for whatever reason, it's still something that people have to kind of make that part of the strategy. So what I love to do is when I'm driving to a meeting, I'm thinking about the story. I'm thinking about, you know, who was it I helped? Who was it that I had an impact on? And then taking it backwards. you know, how old are they? Are they married? You know, what were the circumstances that led to them needing my services? Ultimately, what was it that I did that impacted their life, and how did it change what they were doing? And then that becomes my ask and my story. And so I own that when I walk in, and I can nail that in my sleep. And we all have that ability. It's all something we can just do, just to think it through. Like you said, Jeff, take a few minutes to kind of plan it through and doing it. And once you kind of get into that the mode of this, then it becomes pretty simple because it's kind of a plug and play. You're able to actually just plug in something different. And then ultimately, you're going to go back to that because you may only have 10 different things to talk about. But it's 4 or 5 months later now, and you're going to go back, and you may have a different audience. People may be in a different place in their life. What applied to them 6 months ago may not apply now, or vice versa. So it creates that opportunity where there needs to be something fresh, you know, as much as there can be, because there's always different circumstances to different things we're asking for.
And bottom line is, what's the difference between doing it the right way and doing it the wrong way? Referrals. People are actually able to listen to you. They're able to connect to that story. They're able to think of someone they know that's in that situation, and they know what to say to them to get them to agree to having your person, your referral partner, give them a call, and a deal is made. So it's just, it's night and day difference, and you know, it just is so incredibly simple. You know, the tendency is to think, well, I got to cover everything. The broader I make this, the easier it's going to be for somebody to think of that might be a prospect for me. And actually, it works in reverse. The broader you make it, the less likely they are going to be able to identify a specific person they can refer. The more precise you make it, the easier it's going to be for them to identify someone. Not everyone in the room is going to know a salon keeper, but many of them will. So it's...
And in that same situation, what it's going to do, though, it's going to also... It's going to put you into a category of, is it a small business? Is it something that, you know, has clientele? So it could be a chiropractor, it could be a dentist, it could be, you know, something else along that line. And what I'd rather them do is ask the question, hey, would this apply to that person? And that's really what we're trying to do. And then, like you say in our notes, is that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And so the next time we're covering something else. So what we want to be able to do is over time have a much broader coverage. And then when we do our 10-minute, so in each of our chapters, each member has the ability to be featured in what we call a 10-minute, where they can go to a more broad, you know, a coverage of the things that they do to really kind of fill in the voids of things maybe they hadn't talked about yet. And so that's, to me, a really important piece of kind of balancing this thing, you know, out so that people have a better understanding. But I want people to want to be excited about calling and asking me something. You know, that's really the idea. So that's why being more specific is definitely better. And we've proven that over and over again.
Right. And you just made a really good point. That 60-second is, you know, very specific. Then you get your 10 minutes where you're going to have more time to kind of flesh that out and tell them more about what you do. And then you've got the one-on-one meeting where it's critical that you give them, you know, 20 minutes, you'll have 20 minutes in a one-on-one meeting, and the other guy will have 20 minutes. And you can really, in 20 minutes, cover a lot of ground and cover all the really important information they need to know in order to be able to help you. And but constantly keeping that focus, what does this guy need to know in order to be able to help me? And make sure you communicate that information. And then, of course, we have the referral partner profile sheet to help people make sure that they cover the key points that they need to cover and in the one-on-one meeting. So, but it's a progression. You know, you have different opportunities to accomplish different things, but you want your 60-second presentation, it's only 60 seconds, has to be very precise, very hard-hitting, and it can be very effective for you.
Right. Chuck, we for our audience, we didn't have a show the last couple of weeks. One of the things that we do for our chapters is that we have officers that serve six-month terms. And the last couple of weeks, Chuck's been going through the training of all of our incoming officers that will take over December 1st. So we haven't done a show for a couple of weeks. So we're kind of getting stuff rolling again. So my question, Chuck, is where were you going to go today? Where are we going to start from what we did on Monday, the news notes for Monday, or are we going to go back from a different date?
I think we'll do Monday's news notes, yeah.
Okay. So I'll just do kind of an introduction for that, and then I'll kind of put it over for you. One of the things that we really want to do is we know, and in the almost 20 years that Albion's been around, we know that there's different times of year, there's different things that happen, and there can be some, I don't say laziness, but we can get lethargic or we can get maybe a little sloppy with the things that we're doing. And so what we want to kind of get into is some ideas and some concepts that we're going to bring out there for, you know, for everyone that's networking, in ways that can, you know, make things be a little better. So I'll turn it back over to Chuck.
Yeah, just a little background. Every Monday we put out news notes where we talk about something that is important in power networking. And then usually on the radio shows we try to follow up on that, have a discussion about it, you know, add a few points, bring in different perspectives. I write the articles, but in the radio show we get your perspective and some stories, and, you know, try to flesh it out a little bit for people. But this Monday, our news notes were the title of the article was, "Does Your Chapter Have the Blahs?" And I know that there are people out there that are part of networking groups, and you find that after a while it gets somewhat mundane, it gets repetitive, it can get a little boring, and the groups can even get a little bit clicky, so that when a guest comes in, they almost feel like they're an intruder rather than a guest and somebody that's being welcomed. And so we, you know, you want to make sure that doesn't happen in your chapter. And so we had some thoughts or ideas on some things you can do to make your meetings more exciting, more fun, more lively, to, you know, just add a little excitement, get out of the blahs, get out of the doldrums, and just, you know, have fun with it, but at the same time be very productive. So we listed a number of things. One of the most important is something we've been talking about, and that is, don't do the same commercial every time you come in. If you do the same 60-second presentation, I will guarantee you that by the third time you do it, everybody in the room knows what you're going to say, and they won't listen to you. They'll be thinking about what they're going to be saying. So, and you're not providing them with any additional ideas, additional thoughts, additional ways they can help you. So, you know, one of the most important things in terms of keeping these meetings exciting is for every 60-second presentation to be new, to be different, to be, you know, add a little excitement, to, you know, get others to be thinking about how they can help you and for them to ask questions. I love it when you don't just do a 60-second question or a 60-second presentation and then move on to the next person, but somebody in the room says, you know, that's a thought, but what do I do about this, or what do I do about that, or can you tell me how is the best way to approach somebody on this, and so on and so forth. So you really, you know, get a little bit of a discussion going. Now, you can't go on too long because you have other parts of the meeting you have to get to, but that interchange of ideas, you can tell people are engaged. They are absorbed in what's going on. They are listening. They are thinking. And that's, you know, that 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, where you're doing 60-second presentations becomes more exciting, more fun, more interesting, not just the same old boring stuff.
Right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So that really is number one. Number two is you have an opportunity in every meeting for a 10-minute speaker. And initially you're going to start out, and each of your members is going to have the opportunity to do a 10-minute presentation. Well, after a chapter's been together a couple of years, everybody's had the opportunity a couple of times to do that, and so that can be a little repetitive also. So one of the things you can do is you can invite a guest speaker to come in and take that 10-minute presentation time. So in LBN, we encourage cross-chapter networking. So you may just pull up the LBN list, look at those chapters that are closest to you, and identify people in those chapters who have unique, different types of businesses who can come in and do a 10-minute presentation about their business, because you can see that there's an opportunity. You also want to look for an opportunity for them to gel with some of the people in your chapter so that, you know, you're listening to people that you can help out, or listening to people who are presenting a business that's going to be of interest to the people within the chapter. So just, you know, the LBN, we have an intranet site. You can go on the intranet site. You can choose, you can look at the chapters that are closest to you. You can pull up a list of their members. You can, you know, if somebody looks interesting, there may be a one-page business description there that you can look at to see, you know, learn a little bit more about what this person does. If you know somebody in that chapter, you can call them and say, hey, you know, what do you think of this guy? Do you think he'd be good for a 10-minute presentation? And then you can invite him or her over to do the 10-minute presentation. And so people are listening. They're hearing something they've never heard before. And so it's interesting. It's exciting. It has more value than just going over the same stuff over and over again. So that's one thing you can do. I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, please. So one of the things that we also do for our chapters is, because we do cross-chapter networking, 40% of our referrals come from cross-chapter. And so one of the things that we will do is we will allow members from other chapters to do their 10-minute. And so part of what I, in all my trainings that I do, is I always teach our members that visit other chapters to be prepared, so that if there's a circumstance where two things can happen. One, if they're a regular visitor for a chapter, I did my 10-minute in multiple chapters when I was a member of LBN. And so if you're prepared and you know what you're going to do, you're kind of like the knight in shining armor, because, you know, it's a fresh face they get to hear. But if you're prepared, they're going to appreciate it even more, because it's not something where you're just kind of making it up and you're going to be, know what you're going to say and stuff. But the other thing that we do is that for people that visit chapters regularly, they can actually get on the agenda for another day, so that they know that they're going to be scheduled, so there can be that variety in the different things. So there's two ways that we can do that. One would be to actually, you know, if you showed up and it's kind of a spur of moment thing, or as Chuck said, kind of for the doldrums of things, you know, to be able to have another person come in. But that's one of the cool things with our cross chapter, is that there's typically new faces in the chapters all the time anyways. And to allow them to actually be able to do a presentation is typically pretty well received by everyone involved, as long as they're prepared.
Yeah, and if other chapters learn that you're offering them the 10 minutes to do a presentation, you're going to go visit that chapter. So it increases the number of visitors in the room and makes the meeting more exciting, more fun. You're hearing from new people, new faces, new stories every week. And, you know, they're just, you know, if you're doing it right, there really is no opportunity to get truly bored. So the other thing, you know, we have regional directors that work with every chapter, and the chapter officers can say, hey, you know, we're having a little bit of a problem with 60-second presentations. Some of our members aren't doing it right. Al, would you come in and do a 10-minute presentation on how to do your 60-second presentation? And, of course, you'd be happy to do that, and as would our other regional directors. So, again, it's something new, something different, in this case, something that can be very helpful. And so it makes the meeting more exciting, more fun, more interesting, and you don't get into those blahs. And then also, when you're inviting these new people in all the time, your chapter is not going to get as clicky. They're going to get used to having guests there. They're not going to get into the rut of just sitting down and plopping down in their chair and talking to each other and ignoring any guests in the room. They're going to take that opportunity to visit with these other people, to get to know them, and to begin building relationships with them. So, you know, it really combats the boredom, and it combats the clickiness as well, which, as you know, can get to be a problem.
Right.
So that invite a speaker in. Now you can also, I mean, maybe there's someone that's not even in LBN that is a coach of some kind, or they have a unique approach to something that, or they're in a field that's brand new, where they can come in and explain it to people and share some information with them. Hopefully there's somebody in LBN that's in a related profession that can do the same thing. But if there is not an LBN member and there's somebody else that's available, again, it's you know, information that members in the chapter can use. It helps them promote their businesses, and so it's very legitimate to invite somebody else to come in and do the 10-minute presentation. So, another thing that can be done is to change up the 60-second presentations. When we first started LBN, these blahs can kind of set in after 6 months, 9 months, if you're not doing, changing up your 60-second presentation immediately. So people were complaining, hey, it's getting boring, you know, we're talking to the same people, we're saying the same things. Well, so we said, well, you know, figure out some different fun ways to do your 60-second presentations. You'll have a question for the day, like, you know, share with us your most embarrassing moment. And it's just a fun event where, you get some really funny things, and it's a lot of fun, and people, really have some interesting stories to tell. And or you can switch. You can have, hey, let's find out if we're really listening to each other. This time you'll do my 60-second presentation, and I'll do yours. And you're going to learn a lot from that, because the other guy has this misconceptions about what you do, and he's going to present it, maybe not inaccurately, but not as accurately as it could be. So you're going to learn by listening to him what's getting through from you and what's not getting through. So that's a way. And we have a document on our internet site. It's called Alternatives to 60-Second Presentations, which gives you a variety of different things that you might want to try out. Not every time, but, you know, every once in a while, just to make it a little fun, a little more exciting, not the same old routine. Add a little difference to the whole feel of the meeting. So that's also a possibility that you can take a look at, especially if you're a team leader, and see if there's something there that you might want to try with your chapter. Number four, hold a joint meeting with a neighboring chapter. And you just did that with Richmond and Chesterfield, I think.
Yep.
You want to describe how that went?
Yeah, for sure. So when, well, there's a couple different ways or kind of reasons to do this. One, if they are in, they have competing categories, there's typically a number of people that don't have the ability to visit the other group. So it's a way that they're able to meet and network together, which is a really cool thing. But it's also a way for them that are looking for a potential member, for them to be able to actually invite people to come in, and that can really kind of look to see which chapter would be a better fit for them, and or is it a different chapter altogether? And so we did that for the Chesterfield Richmond chapter. We're going to gain probably 5 or 6 members from it, and there's probably 3 chapters that are going to benefit from it because there was some overlap in some categories, but there were openings in other chapters. And so it was a real nice way. And I know that after the first of the year, I know that Roseville and St. Clair Shores are going to do it. And these are chapters that I call them sister chapters. They're chapters that are in the same area, but they meet in opposite weeks. And that's how I've done Chesterfield and Richmond. It's how I've done Roseville and St. Clair Shores. So they're kind of sister chapters so that they meet on opposite weeks. But it's a way to bring both of those groups together. And they're really excited because there's several people that have never met each other, you know, that are looking to do this. And it's a way that, one, they can meet these people they haven't met before and spring some new relationships in, but also it's a real easy and fun way to grow, you know, a couple of different chapters at the same time.
Right, and I really think you did it right in terms of setting that up. You know, sometimes chapters will say, well, you know, we're going to invite this other chapter over. And then, so it feels like it's one chapter inviting another instead of a joint event. And I think you set it up. You went to both chapters ahead of time and said, mm-hmm. Hey, you guys want to do this? Would you enjoy it? Is this something you want to do? It wasn't something where all of a sudden an invitation came in from another chapter, a bunch of people you don't know. And they, you know, and in that case, sometimes people just say, I'm not really that interested. This way you get full participation from both groups. It doesn't belong to one chapter or the other. It's a joint event, truly is joint. It's truly both chapters working together to make it a success. And so I think, you know, you set it up perfectly. And that's the way to do it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. Okay. So next thing is breakout sessions. Let's say you're having an issue in the chapter. Maybe we've got a little bit too much absenteeism. Well, you can go to the chapter meeting. You got 15, 20 members there. You can break into 3 or 4 different groups to discuss the issue of what we can do to solve this problem of too many absences. And so each group has a leader. They take some notes on what's said in their group. So you spend maybe about 8 minutes in separate groups, get back together for another 2, 3, 4 minutes and kind of review what you found, decide on some actions you're going to take. And it's been an interesting meeting. It's solved a problem. It's gotten groups within the chapter to talk to each other. And so it's and everybody is able to contribute to it. So it's a joint decision on what we're going to do. And so everybody's bought into it already. So it's a very effective way of dealing with some issues that may be cropping up that you want to address. You can take the 10 minutes. Sometimes you have to stretch that and try to squeeze out a couple of extra minutes depending on the size of the topic and so on. But it keeps those meetings from getting boring. Everybody gets a chance to participate. You come up with some solutions, and chapter's better for it. So
I like that.
You can So that's something that's also easy to do. And you know, I should say, no one of these things perhaps is the answer to your problem, but if you do two or three or four, you're going to find that that it really does make a difference, and things do get more exciting, and people get re-involved, and so on. So the breakout sessions are there. And so those were just, well, let's see, I got one more here. Introduce some games or contests into the meeting agenda. Our Clarkson chapter has a little game that they do every meeting. They have a deck of cards, and so everybody puts their card in a bowl and pays a dollar. So we've got, let's say, 15 people in it, and $15. And the person, one of the cards is drawn. That person has an opportunity, one of the business cards is drawn. And that person has an opportunity to draw one of the cards from the deck to see if they can select the card. Let's say it's the Ace of Hearts. Okay, so they're trying to find the Ace of Hearts. So they pull a card from the deck of 52. Not very likely they're going to get it the first time, right? So, but that game continues on, and the kitty builds up over time as you try to draw that card. And, you know, sometimes it can go down to as few as 10 cards or so. So you've gone through 40 cards times $10. It's a pretty good-sized pot, $10 or $15, yep, depending on how many people participate. And it's not a big deal, but it's just kind of fun. It's a little something different. And somebody gets invested in this, they don't want to miss a meeting. They might miss the opportunity to draw the winning card. So you can have a contest. That's just one example. I'm sure, you know, people can think of tons and tons of different types of contests. And another thing you can do is kind of, again, break out into smaller groups and have contests between the groups. You know, if you really want to get some recruiting going, you can have a team of people that are B2B and a team of people that are B2C. Let's see which group can bring in the most guests over the next 3 months and really get a contest going and have some sort of a wager on it, like a free lunch or a free drink or whatever. So that everybody gets involved, and again, it helps to solve the problem of not having enough recruiting going on in the chapter. At the same time, creates a little friendly competition, and can be a lot of fun. So, I mean, you can do that with just about anything. It doesn't have to be recruiting. It can be referral generation. It can be, you know, whatever you want to make it be. So. It's a means of accomplishing one of the goals you want to accomplish for the term, and have fun doing it.
Well, another one of the things that that actually Sterling Heights does it is whoever the 10-minute presenter is has to bring in a gift. And so what they do is they do the business card draw from the people that are there to get the gift from the presenter that day. And I mean, that chapter typically is floating around 30 people at their meetings because they give out some good stuff. so they do that. And then they also do, you know, the elephant. They do the elephant gifts, you know, at Christmas time. So there's some things like that. But, yeah, their giveaways are always, like, I don't remember what they put a price, but it's got to be like $20-$25 or something like that, I think, that they mandate that the giveaways are. So there's some pretty excited people typically when they're doing the giveaways. So that was just another one that was a little different because the business card dollar draw is actually pretty common. There's several chapters that do that, and it's always, like you said, Chuck, it's always well received, and it's good. What I don't like is sometimes when they have me pull the card and they typically have a fishbowl that I can't get my gigantic paw inside of. Like, can we get a bigger bowl? And my paws are fitting in this thing. because they always want like a third party pulling the stuff. So it's always exciting to pull the business card for them and to do that stuff. So I like that. And but yeah, like you said, Chuck, just having some variety for those types of things. And then you know, the other thing is with, you know, as, and I know we're breaking into the end of this, but when we approach holiday time, you know, we have, you run into the issues where chapters may not be meeting, but once a month. And so we really want there to be some, you know, some involvement with the groups. And this is where the joint chapter things come in, or holiday parties, or, you know, other things, because, you know, what I don't want to see is that, you know, we go 2 months and people see each other twice. And so, you know, these are the types of things that we really want there to be some interaction and some, where the cross chapter networking comes into play, so that, you know, people can really get their money's worth out of our memberships.
Right. And of course, you know, another thing, you know, if you're getting a little bored with the people in chapter, invite a few new people in. So, I mean, if you build a chapter, you add fresh blood, that gets some excitement going. I'm not saying you replace the old ones. I'm saying you add to the members that have been there for a while. So the more fresh blood you have in the chapter, the more interesting it is, because you're learning new things, getting to know new people. You have new opportunities to promote your business. And so you can keep things fresh by making sure that you're constantly adding to your membership. So, and there is turnover. I mean, let's face it, we have attrition. People move out of state. People change jobs, you know, and so on. You know, the boss decides, hey, networking doesn't work, so I'm not going to do it anymore like your boss did.
Yeah, no doubt.
Even though you were doing the best of any salesman in the group. But, you know, this fresh blood makes it more fun, makes it more exciting. So those are just a few of the ideas that we have, and I don't know if you know, if there was anything else that kind of popped into your head as we were going through some of these, or if you already shared. I know you already shared a few, so.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, another thing to think about, and again, where this becomes a different thing when Chuck talks about, you know, bringing in new people and you know, inviting different people. It's really, to me, where the cross chapter networking really can make a difference, because if you have that ability to visit other chapters, so there's a lot of fresh faces that you're able to see, and so it doesn't become stale at all. But for people that are captive, you know, in a chapter that don't get to see a lot of new people, what I see is that chapters that visit get the most visitors. And so it's really something where I really identify those people that can visit other groups as ambassadors for the group. And so they serve, to me, a couple different roles. Obviously, their point when they visit another chapter is to present their business and to, you know, what the product and services that they have. But at the same time, what I want them to be doing is listening to the needs and wants of people in that group. And it creates those opportunities for referrals, referral partners, and all of that. But at the same time, I always want them to be sharing the needs of their chapter. Understand what your chapter needs, and let these other chapters know what those needs are. Because of time, because of location, because of whatever, they can have the perfect candidate that just doesn't fit into their group for whatever reason, and they don't even know that you have that need for that category. And so those are the things that I really want people that have that ability to visit other groups is to be able to, you know, have that, to be able to kind of spread the word on what's needed. And I remember John Snyder, who's a master plumber and probably the smartest person I've ever met in my life. I remember when he was, you know, he'd been in LBN for a few years, and he was, we were talking about growing the chapter and recruiting. And he basically said, look, he goes, I come to my networking meetings, I go home and I work. I do nothing else. And I'm like, but John, you visit 8 chapters a month. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, have you ever shared the needs of your chapter with the other chapters? He's like, no. I'm like, why don't you try that? Well, guess what? Guess who's a good person to grow their chapter? He was like, I never thought of that before. That never even came up in my mind. So those are just some subtle things that you can do, so that, because you do want there to be fresh faces. You do want there to be new blood, you know, in the group, because we never want it to get stale. And that's, to me, what LBN does. Another thing that's different is because we're not one static group. It's not just one group that sees each other every week. It's it's 400 people that have the ability to intermingle and to have that ability to visit. To me, is what allows us to never become that stale, unless the group allows it to be. You know, it's something where, I guess the way I look at it is that if nobody's visiting other groups and nobody's using the tools that we offer, then sure, it can become stale. And we do everything we can to be able to stop that from happening as best we can. But unless they take the initiative on their own to do some of these things, then, you know, there's only so much we can do.
Yeah, and you make such a good point that this cross-chapter networking creates opportunities that are not available in other groups. And it's not just that you have the opportunity to go visit other chapters in LBN. It's that there's a spirit of helpfulness in LBN because of the way that we approach marketing your business through others. Everybody wants to help everybody else. And so there's this positive spirit of helpfulness in any chapter you go to. They want to try to help you. And you go there with the attitude that you want to try to help them. And so, if you do the cross-chapter networking, if you take advantage of that, then you're going to find that those opportunities are there to both help others and be helped by others. And
right.
I think that's somewhat unique in LBN. But, you know, I think where I see the stagnation problem being the worst is in chapters that don't do cross-chapter networking. If you don't allow other people in, if you don't take the opportunity to go visit other chapters where you're going to meet new people, new faces, etc., and be able to bring somebody back to visit with you, or be able to help somebody in the other chapter, or be able to bring a referral from that other chapter back to your chapter, then you're missing such tremendous opportunity. And I just, you know, I just don't understand those chapters that kind of sit there and say, well, the meeting's all about us, and we're just here. We're just going to go to our own chapters, and no wonder they get stagnant.
Right. I hear you, and like, you know, we know, Chuck, there's only so much that we can do. You know, people are going to do what they want, and we can talk about it all day long, but ultimately, you know, people gotta want it. You know, and what we've really tried to get away from is we didn't want this to become a social. We didn't want this to be a coffee clutch where, you know, people are just getting together to have breakfast. That's the last thing that we've wanted, you know, to have. And in all honesty, I prefer that people don't eat at the meetings. I prefer they stay afterwards to eat because I really want the focus to be on each other. And so I would say there's fewer and fewer chapters that actually eat during their meetings. And I'll tell you, I know the chapters that don't eat do way better. And but, you know, that's the way some people want to have it. And again, we're going to allow them to have the freedom to do those things. But I sure know that when I go to that chapter, I'm not going to see the same energy. I'm not going to see the same attentiveness as I am to a chapter that eats after or doesn't eat at all. But again, each group has their own thing. But your focus can't be on what I'm having for breakfast. It's got to be on wanting to know, like, what are the people around me looking for and how can I best help them, and making sure that they're leaving with a clear understanding of what I'm looking for and why. And the better I can do that, then I can eat any other time that I want to eat.
Well, let's take a few minutes and Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and we need to reach out and tell everybody that we're so hopeful that their families all in good health and doing well, prospering, and that they have a great opportunity tomorrow to get together and think about the blessings that everyone has, and to share goodwill with each other and just, you know, just have a great, great time. It's a time of the year I really appreciate. I really think that we are so blessed in this nation, And we need to take the time to say thanks for all that and to just ponder on how lucky we are. I mean, we got people all over, you know, we got people on our southern borders begging to come into the United States of America, and we share so many blessings, have so many blessings in this country. We need to stop, think about it, give thanks for it, and share with our family members, be together with them. So I look forward to it. It's not just the food. I know you're thinking it's just the food, Al, but it's really about a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, I am so, like you said, Chuck, I am so thankful for, you know, everything that I have and everything around me and my friends and family, and I wish the best for everyone, and for you as well, Chuck, you and your family. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and the good thing is that you actually have the Cowboys to root for, and we have the Lions. So I don't know how grateful I am for that, but anyways, but that's it. So yeah, we'll close it off. We're a couple minutes early, but we'll wrap it up. And I think it was a very beautiful way to close it, Chuck. Again, very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and to all our audience. We really appreciate you guys tuning in every week. And we'll see you next week, and God bless America.
Just one more quick thought. Yeah, one more quick thought. One of the greatest blessings I have is just being a part of LBN and all the wonderful people that we have in this organization, all the wonderful, caring, giving people that we get to associate with every day. So just my love to everybody in LBN.
Yeah, tittle for me, bud. Thanks, Chuck. We'll see you next week, and have a great Thanksgiving. Bye, everybody. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.